Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we are, back at it again in the Magic Radio Box. One more time. And we have the gift of hyperbole, which I always love talking about hyperbole. It's a wonderful thing. So I bring up a team that was the worst team in football last year. And we like talking about bad things because bad things generally lead to good talk radio, like the Arizona Cardinals, the laughingstock of the football world. They had the number one pick because they were so bad. So terrible last year. They have added another act under the big top. And I'm talking about Steve Keim, the GM of the Cardinals, who has outdone himself when talking about Kyler Murray. I don't know if you heard what he said in an interview recently, but if you missed it, we'll get you caught up to speed. So seemingly with a straight face, the general manager of the Cardinals trying to explain why they had Sam Bradford, then got Josh Rosen, got rid of both those guys, and now they're going with Kyler Murray with the first overall pick. And he says that Kyler Murray is just so amazing that he makes all the other moves on the chessboard worth it. And he admitted it is unprecedented what the Arizona Cardinals have done here, but he pointed out that he really, really believes in Kyler Murray. In fact, the quote from Keim was that he said he's standing firm here. He says, I just felt that Murray was a generational talent that I just couldn't pass up. It's an interview he did with The Ringer. Now, the key part of that, those two words, bada bing, bada boom, generational talent. Generational talent. Is he back on the booze? What's going on there with Steve Keim, the GM? Now, let's discuss the question. Exactly. Are you going to buy or sell Kyler Murray being a, quote, generational talent, unquote, for the Cardinals? If you listen to the show at all, you know my position. You know my thoughts on this. Exactly. I've got shoelaces, Muggsy, and in addition to that, we also have the obliteration. We'll get to that as well. It's a big word. Obliteration is a good word, right? You like that word. It's not a bad word. I don't know if you use it all the time, but I like the word. Anyway, all right, so we'll begin with A. Kyler Murray is the biggest risk in NFL draft history, right? The biggest risk in NFL draft history. And that's not me hyping this. That is reality. Because of his diminutive size and his limited body of work at Oklahoma, this is essentially betting on green 00 on the roulette wheel. Now, every once in a while, green 00 wins when you play roulette, but very rarely. He is the long shot of long shots. So it's kind of like if you were to bet on a fight, there's some big, you know, heavyweight fight, the new Thriller in Manila or something like that, Rumble in the Jungle, and you bet on the boxer who has the shoelaces tied together. Who would do that? Kyler Murray took the field with Oklahoma, having better players than everyone Oklahoma played up until the game they didn't, where the Sooners were just steamrolling teams right up until the moment they were exposed. And Kyler Murray was exposed against Nick Saban and Alabama, and then Alabama got mollywopped after that in the college football playoff. But Kyler Murray laid an egg. He sucked. He was so terrible in the first half. And then he had some garbage time numbers in the second half. The game was over for all intents and purposes at halftime. And even Kyler Murray doesn't think he's a generational talent in football. What's my evidence? He signed a professional baseball contract with the Oakland Athletics. If he thought he was a generational football talent, why on God's green earth would he have signed with the Oakland A's to ride buses in the minor leagues? I mean, you don't have to be Einstein to know what's going on. You know what's going on. He didn't think he could make it in the NFL. The A's offered him a decent amount of money. He took it. And then he walked back on his word. Right? Playing for the Cardinals. I'm going to put this through the prism that Kyler Murray and Oklahoma fans, because I'm getting peppered by these boomer Sooner guys. It's essentially Kyler Murray is now suiting up for Florida Atlantic or Iowa State or Kansas. And the other team is like Oklahoma. If Murray's a generational talent, then he should have no trouble overcoming the odds, right? It's going to be just marvelous. It's like eating a corn dog at the state fair. Everyone loves the corn dog at the state fair, right? Anything deep fried, you love. Just don't hold your breath. Now, part B of this, no point in Steve Keim being indecisive. Now, I think he's Doink the Clown and should be in the dumpster with Lenny Dykstra, but you cannot be indecisive because he has already laid down the foundation. And once you lay the foundation down, it's, you know, how many people, I'm going to lay the foundation, then I'm going to come and destroy the foundation and start over. He's done that, but now he's doing it again with Kyler Murray. Make no mistake, we said it the night of the NFL draft behind these microphones at Fox. Steve Keim has no choice now. Right? He has put all of the chips in the middle of the table, and they all have a photo of little Kyler Murray right there. That's it. You know, for better or worse, Kyler Murray will cement the football future of the general manager of the Cardinals. Now, my belief is that everyone in Arizona will be fired, as I said. It is the blind leading the blind. Now, if it was Blind Scott, I would be okay, because Blind Scott's given me a tour of Boston, a walking tour, which is amazing because he's blind. But this is the real, no concept, blind to the blind. Kyler Murray is not going to play long. He's not going to pay long-term dividends. You know, there might be some beginner's luck the beginning of his career before teams get a book on Kyler Murray. But it's kind of like watching Muggsy Bogues. Now, that's an old NBA player from a million years ago. But Muggsy Bogues played in the NBA, had a decent career. I think he played about 10 years or something like that. And he was all of like 5'3" or something along those lines. And it's a nice diversion, right? Watching him play back in that era of the NBA for the Washington Bullets, they were called the Bullets, or the Charlotte Hornets, and others. I mean, Bogues made zero All-Star games, played about 29 minutes a game, played well at times, but he's barely bigger than a garden gnome, Kyler Murray, and so by football standards, it's the same concept. I mean, the NFL is filled. You watch these games. You watch a college game and then watch an NFL game. If you've ever done that in person, even the crap NFL teams, even the dreck of the NFL, the players are the size of Hercules, right? You know, King Kong running around, and it's not the same deal. Kyler Murray looks like a video game glitch. That's what he looks like. I said it first moment I saw him last week in his exhibition debut. It's like the programmers at Madden tossed in a code, and if you type the code in, you can play with a Pop Warner quarterback in the Madden game. Well, Kyler is, I guess he's a game breaker in peewee football, but this is adult football. So there are two ways that Kyler Murray can do a pratfall. Either being unable to perform because he's just not good enough, because we've seen plenty of star college players that stink out loud in the NFL, and also physically being unable to handle the abuse from the savages, the swashbuckling savages that will take him out. Now, the last word here. So Steve Keim's track record tells you that this is not going to go very well, right? He has obliterated the NFL draft. Everything this guy has touched since 2013 has turned to vomit. And I'm not embellishing that. To prove my point here, let's go to the stats, right? And if you're looking at past results, I know they don't guarantee future outcomes. However, if you invest in real estate or you invest in the stock market, you understand that they look at a likelihood, right? The analytics aren't perfect and all that, but you look at likelihoods and outcomes and you work with that. So if you go to the stat sheet of the 42 players before this year's draft, of the 42 players the Cardinals drafted since 2013, the start of Steve Keim taking over that front office as GM, more than half, in fact, it's closer to 65%, are no longer with the organization. Right? Not even with the team. And you say, well, that's mostly probably sixth or seventh round pick. No, it's 64.2% have left the organization. The Cardinals' first round picks, Robert Kemdichie, Koopa Loop's favorite player from 2016. He just got released a little while back. Josh Rosen was traded. And this Hassan Reddick is trying to come back. He was the 2017 first round. I think he went to Temple. And he is recovering from a knee scope, and I believe he's playing now, but we'll see how good he's going to be. So the team is also on its third head coach in three seasons. That is the consistency of the Cleveland Browns in recent years. Three coaches, 3 years, and gets even better. This guy, Steve Keim, because everyone wanted to hire somebody associated with Sean McVay. You know what they did, right? I don't need to tell you that they went out and they got somebody that was a cabana boy for Sean McVay for like a week or two in this Texas Tech coach, Cliff Kingsbury, who was fired from Texas Tech, which you say, well, coaches get fired all the time. They can bounce back. That was his alma mater. He had a losing record over six seasons at Texas Tech. And they said, this guy is so incompetent, this Kingsbury guy. We got to get rid of him. And so here's what Kingsbury has done in the NFL. He's added snack breaks to practice with juice boxes and granola bars for the players. He's also tossed in social media breaks for team meetings. So guys got to update the gram. So
loser.
Social media, when it comes knocking, you got to take care of it. It is dysfunction junction. What's your function? We know what the function is. It's a screwed up mess, but it makes for good talk radio. So just remember this. We'll save this. I want everyone to remember this because Kyler Murray, when he blows up, and not in a good way, you say, you were right, but you're just being negative, Maller. You were right, but, yeah.
All right. Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So last hour was the hour of Kyler Murray. This hour, the hour of the Browns, in particular Baker Mayfield. These things keep popping up. Now, the Browns are one of the cool kids. They've not been a cool kid since like the 80s, and maybe not even since the 60s, but the Cleveland Browns are one of the cool kids in the NFL.
Whoopty hell.
In the offseason. Baker Mayfield has a theory on how this will impact Cleveland in 2019. Now, I want to talk about his theory, because I like theories. I have my own theories. And so Baker has his theory, so we'll do that. So if you didn't hear what Baker Mayfield had to say, he had a very long-winded quote in a magazine interview. But he said, I wouldn't say that everybody wants to beat us, meaning the Browns. This is a quote. I think in the media and everything that comes with the hype around our team right now, people want to see us, meaning the Browns, lose. Just because the hype is so real. That's what he opined, Baker Mayfield. Now, there's no question the Browns have gotten excessive media coverage. We've talked a lot about the Browns, more this year than in years past, although we've always talked about the Browns because it's fun to pick on them. It's fun to goof on them because they're such an embarrassment. And so it's good, you know, the traveling circus that is the Cleveland Browns. But they've cranked it up a couple of notches, if you will. So a lot of this revolves around the very verbose Baker Mayfield, the loquacious quarterback who oozes swagger. Some say it's fake swagger, but he's oozing. You know, things ooze, they get your attention. Now, Mayfield also attempted to say that the belief stays within the locker room, which I love because he did this while talking to a reporter. So if it stays in the locker room, now I've heard these wild stories over the years about Belichick with the Patriots, and he uses some of these motivational techniques, but he never does it with the media. Like, in the locker room, Belichick from time to time will pull out, you know, this, they don't think you're going to win. You know, they think you're too old, Brady, and all. They use that kind of stuff, but they don't talk about it. They don't advertise it. And Baker Mayfield's like, it's right in your face. Right there. All right, so let us discuss. Now, the question, thumbs up or thumbs down, do you agree with Baker Mayfield's assessment of people wanting to see the Browns do a faceplant? And the old flopperoo. I actually agree with him. I'm going to give him a thumbs up on this. I know a lot of the other guys in the media are like, oh, I don't know. I disagree. Nobody cares about the Browns. My evidence here, I have Eddie, who I am on the Brown bandwagon. I think the Browns will make the playoffs this year. I've said that very clearly in the past. And Eddie's biased. He's a Steelers fan. And he doesn't think so much. But my observations, I've got meat and potatoes, the straw man, and the arch villain. And we will put all of these things together and we'll make a banana cream pie. That's what we're going to do. Now, number one, the Cleveland Browns, no matter what happens in the regular season, it doesn't take away from the fact that they are the darlings of the offseason. They won the Odell Beckham sweepstakes. They got Beckham for a song, considering how good a player he is. And they also gambled on Kareem Hunt, who's going to miss the first half of the year, the old Kansas City Chiefs running back who was electrifying when he played in Kansas City. So it has set up a tsunami of hyperbole. A literal tsunami. And you know this. And they have gotten the vast majority of the chatter. A great deal of high expectations have been put out there from the pundits. Cleveland went 5-2 to finish last year. So the last seven games, they were 5-2. And people believe that's going to carry over. Now, we know momentum doesn't exist. There is no such thing as momentum. And certainly from season to season, it doesn't exist. You start over. You hit the reset button. So that's a little strange to me. Think, well, the Browns went 5-2 at the end of last year. They're going to go like that to start this year. That's not how it works. And it's this weird shell game, like a three-card Monty game, that takes place. And the Browns are experiencing this to a degree. And so Mayfield's not wrong where you build them up to knock them down. You build somebody up, think they're great and all this stuff, and then you take your axe and you're Paul Bunyan, and you're chopping down the totem pole. And Cleveland has a group of flamboyant players who are clearly self-absorbed, and they love to play to the camera. And that, as we have seen over the years, and I like talking about these kind of teams and players, but I know it is something that shakes up the sensibilities of the meat and potato football fan. The meat and potato football fan does not want to deal with any of this nonsense. Right, these grumpy curmudgeons. I don't like this. I want you to play football and keep your mouth shut and all that, you know, that kind of thing. And it's also human nature, right? People love rooting for a lovable loser. The Browns have been lovable losers because they're so incompetent. The moment that stops is when they start winning. The Chicago Cubs, everyone loved the Cubs. They finally won the World Series, and they're not as lovable anymore. The Boston Red Sox, you know, they've been a dynasty in baseball the last 15, 20 years, whatever. They've won three World Series and all that. But guess what? The Red Sox, you know, they're not as likely. People felt bad for the Red Sox because they always seem to blow it in the playoffs or the World Series or whatever, and now they don't feel that way anymore. Now, the second thing, Baker Mayfield is your classical, like from the Renaissance, football player who is motivated by doubters. And there's so much of the sports world that's like this. Like, you didn't think I could do this, and that's the driving force, and that's what fuels their passion. He's searching for negativity. Now, this is not new information. Now, he wants that jet fuel, Baker Mayfield, and we know he's been battling with Colin Cowherd, among others, our colleague here at Fox Sports Radio. When I say colleague, he's a big star, and we're not. But we do work at the same company. Yeah. So when he can't find enough negativity, Baker Mayfield, he goes into his workshop, and he creates a straw man argument to help enhance the rage. Right? Got to come up with a straw man. You invent something. But that is not what's happening here. On a smaller scale, last year, who was the top team of the offseason? Who won the offseason last year? You can ram it all day. You can ram it all night. The Rams felt the same angst last season. They had fortified the roster with players like Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, and Ndamukong Suh, Brandon Cooks. Me, oh my. And what happened? Many people, I heard it all the time as a Rams suck-up, were hoping that Sean McVay would do a pratfall and a trap door would open up and he would be eaten by alligators. I would say getting to the Super Bowl, winning the NFC Championship is not a lost year. The Rams lived up to the hype. They were in position going to the fourth quarter to still pull out the Super Bowl, even though the offense didn't show up. So where is the bar for the Cleveland Browns of 2019? I believe it's this. Win the AFC North and make a little bit of noise in the postseason. I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl, Cleveland. I'd be shocked if the Browns go to the Super Bowl. But they can certainly make the playoffs. That's a very winnable division. It's a very poor division. The Bengals look like a six-win team. If everything goes right, they'll win six games. The Ravens have a sideshow quarterback, Lamar Jackson, who is a gimmick guy, no threat at all to throw the ball. Teams are going to figure him out. And then good luck. We'll see if he can adjust. And then you've got the Steelers who lost Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. And, well, Bell didn't play last year, but he's not playing this year for the Steelers either. And they will be depending on diamonds in the rough. How often do diamonds in the rough turn out to be sparkling? It happens. It also happens that you've got a cubic zirconia. That happens a lot, too. It's a fake diamond. So, you know, the arms race, Cleveland is winning. If you look at just that division, forget about the rest of the AFC because the Patriots are still better and all that, assuming Tom Brady doesn't fall off the cliff. But just in that division, they are more talented from top to bottom. They got a bunch of high draft picks. The defense actually was pretty good last season in Cleveland. All right, final point here. So here's my advice, unsolicited overnight radio advice to Baker Mayfield and the Brownies. Here's what you do, all right? You need to embrace your inner villain is what you need to do. This makes it more fun to me. You got good guys and bad guys. They are the team of show ponies, the Browns, mixed with wild child tendencies. So embrace it. Own it. You got to own it. Become the arch villain of the NFL. The team that people despise. Now, that's already happening. But you got to really crank it up a couple of notches. Now, you think of the most hated teams, and there's a lot of people that dislike the Patriots right now, but it's more because they win all the time than anything. Like, I remember when I was younger, the Bad Boys Pistons. People hated the Bad Boys Pistons, their attitude and all that. So they didn't like them. The Yankees get a lot of hate, but I think it's also because, you know, they win and all that stuff. But there have been a few teams that have stood out. I'm blanking on some. I think you know who they are if you pay attention to this stuff. But be the football outlaw. Be the desperado. You know, you're running a bootleg operation there, and I'm not talking about the bootleg play. I'm talking about the bootleg operation in Cleveland, that menacing evil empire of the NFL, right? You have an opportunity to become the arch villain of pro football, as we pointed out there. In order to do that, the Browns have to be good. Average doesn't make you hated. You have to be good. And if they are good, this to me looks like a 10-win team, right? 10 wins doesn't guarantee anything, but it gives you a pretty good shot to win the division. Not only that's a 12-win division. I don't buy that. So 10 wins get you in position. And certainly the wild card, I don't know about that. I mean, you might have to win more because 11 or 12 might be the number for the wild card, depending on how crazy things get on the topsy-turvy AFC. But the other thing in play here, as we point out all the time, it's one of the great words, there's no synonym for schadenfreude. Did you know that? There's no other word to use. It's in the German lexicon, but there's nothing else you can say that is the same exact meaning as schadenfreude, which is just people taking joy out of the misery of others, which is a wonderful term and is appropriate here. Like, people will really celebrate if Baker Mayfield throws 17 interceptions and 5 touchdowns to start the year and the Browns get off to a 1-6 start. There will be people who will regale in celebration and evangelize about the Browns and what a joke they are and all that stuff.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
You know what I do believe? I believe in random questions is what I believe in. Yes.
Hurry, I can hardly wait.
Ask Ben.
Twitter.
Send us your questions on Twitter now.
All right, for the rest of the hour, new clock, more time for Ask Ben, your questions. We'll see if we have enough. Maybe we'll run out of questions and we'll have to limit Ask Ben. We'll see how many questions have been coming in. But these are actual questions by actual listeners like yourself. Generally, we don't ask hardcore sports questions because we do that the rest of the time. We're a hardcore sports show. Yes. Salt of the earth. So questions about us, questions about the show, kind of unique questions, if you will. Learn more about us. If you have a question about something, our favorite type of pasta, fettuccine Alfredo for me, any of those questions, feel free. All right, so we pass the microphones over to the Koopa Loop, who has the reading of the questions. He's at the dais right now.
Ben, we're going to start with a question for you.
All right.
This is from Jason on Facebook.
Hi, Jason.
Ben, has anyone ever told you you sound like Rodney Dangerfield sometimes?
No one has ever told me that. Although I remember Dangerfield's big line was, I get no respect, and all. I feel like I get no respect. So it's very similar. And I was in an elevator with Rodney Dangerfield in Burbank, on Riverside Drive in Burbank. The radio station I worked at, Rodney Dangerfield was in there, obviously, a couple years before he died. And I guess his agency was in
the building, and for some reason it was there. I guess to hang out with his agent or whatever. And I was in the elevator, and I didn't say anything to him. And I was still upset by that. I could have said something to Rodney Dangerfield. And I just sat there and I stared at him, and he got off the floor he got off on, and that was it. All right, next, it's Ask Ben. Your questions, our answers.
Another one for you, Ben.
Back to back, belly to belly.
What are your top three baseball parks that you've been to?
Top three, I love Dodger Stadium, but outside of L.A., I really enjoyed Fenway, although if you're a fat guy, you need to sit in the monster seats because it's not fat-friendly. It's not fat-friendly. It's designed for people that were the size of, like, the early 1900s.
Robert Guerra size.
Yeah, I like
fun-sized.
I like Chicago, although I have not been to Wrigley Field since they renovated. When I was doing stuff with the Dodgers, it was back in the Stone Age. Now they got big scoreboard there and all that stuff, so I don't know what that's like, but I enjoyed that. You know what's pretty cool? Well, I hate saying this because it's an enemy combatant, but that ballpark in San Francisco, they keep changing the name of it. That is beautiful. And I never saw – see, I'm giving you more than three, but I like everything, apparently. I've never been to Camden Yards. I hear that's nice. Pittsburgh, I've never seen a game in Pittsburgh, but I walked around – the ballpark in Pittsburgh, and it was beautiful. I think the water, the bridges behind it were awesome. I mean, I even like that dopey train station in Seattle. That was kind of cool. Although it's annoying because that train, the horns and all that go off all the time. But anyway. I guess the top, Fenway, Wrigley, how boring is that? Those are some of the top. And the San Francisco one's beautiful because it's right on the water and all that. All right, next, it's Ask Ben Your Questions, Our Answers.
All right, this is for the crew.
All right.
This could be a dangerous question. It says, what is the... this is from Alex on Facebook, by the way.
Hi, Alex.
Worst restaurant you guys ever ate at?
The last time I ever ate at the... I don't know if I can name it. I'll give it by its code name, the Crazy Chicken. I ate at the Crazy Chicken, and I had food poisoning, and I've never been back. I used to eat there all the time. I loved it. I loved the food there, and there's one right across the street from where we work, and I have not been back.
Oh, I love that place, man.
If you've ever had food poisoning from a meal gone bad, you will not go back. You will not. You are at the throne with your head in the toilet. What about you, Eddie? Any meal, any restaurant that you've had a terrible experience at?
Well, there. I won't name it because I don't want to be a jerk, but there's a sandwich place in San Pedro.
Is it the one right across?
No. That's that a good one.
Okay.
That's a good
Busy
one.
Bee's
Busy,
good.
Busy not, Bee is fantastic. There's one right there on the main road as you come into town. Everyone raves over it. I think it's horrible. Just awful.
What's bad about it? Is the bread not good?
It's bland. There's no real flavor to it. My wife got me a sandwich from that place, and I actually refused to eat it.
Wow. Is it maybe an order problem? Like, you guys, they have nothing on the menu, spicy or anything? Nothing?
Well, it's possible.
Could be on you.
I did give it a second chance after the first time, and it was still terrible. So I said, done forever.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, if you don't like the food, don't spend that. Food's expensive. We eat out. Oh, what about you, Roberto? Anything that stands out here?
There used to be when I first started dating my wife, she was a big fan of this breakfast place.
Yeah.
Tony Gwynn used to be a big sponsor of it back in the day. Yeah, not a big fan of it. Breakfast is not so great there.
No?
No, not for me.
No, not for you?
Not for me.
You don't like the pancakes or something like that?
The eggs. Yeah,
the eggs, I got you.
Coffee's not that great.
No, coffee's not good. All right, what about you, Coop? Anything there?
Yeah, I've been to, and I've only been here once, so I only give it one try, but it rhymes with Damus Faves.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And gotcha. it was very overpriced and very underwhelming.
Yeah.
And I never went back.
Yeah, I get that. Like, a lot of people, I don't hate, like, Chick-fil-A, I don't hate, but I feel like the food portions are not big enough. I feel like the food, they're jipping you on the food.
That is true,
yeah.
But it's delicious. It's really
good. It's fine.
Good.
Raising Cane's is better. But the problem is that my wife likes Chick-fil-A, so she's a heathen. I tell her Raising Cane's
she's
is the way
boss.
To go. Yeah. So we end up eating there occasionally, and I'm like, it's like, need bigger sandwiches and
order two.
More of those wedge cut fries or whatever they got there.
The waffle cut.
Damn, I'm getting hungry now.
All right. We'll press on. We'll have more of Ask Ben Your Questions, Our Answers for the rest of the hour. We'll get to that. We'll do it next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com.
And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
And right back to Ask Ben we go. Your questions are answers. So the rest of the hour, these are actual questions sent in by actual listeners on our social media channels. Hashtag Ask Ben on Twitter and our Facebook page, which is Ben Maller Show. So here we go. Koopaloop, what do we have?
Well, we've got another question for the crew. This is from Teresa on Facebook.
Hi, Teresa.
When you guys were in high school, did any of you fall asleep in class? And if so, what class was it?
No, I never did that, but I just didn't show up. So I'd sleep at home and I wouldn't get out of bed. Wouldn't get out of bed and all that. Truancy was my friend in high school, but no, usually when I showed up, I kind of paid attention. What about you, Eddie?
I never fell asleep in class, but I do remember one time in Spanish class, one of my classmates did fall asleep, and the teacher grabbed an eraser from the chalkboard, threw it at his head, and it bounced off, and like a big puff of like white chalky smoke like went into the air.
Yeah,
and the kid kind of woke up like, "What just happened?" The teacher would probably be fired now if he did that.
Oh yeah, charges, felony charges, child endangerment. And these days, what about you, Roberto?
Never fell asleep in class, but I was a troublemaker in high school, so detention. I was in detention all the time. Never fell asleep.
I was
a class clown.
Few issues. Some of my fondest memories though in school were when we had a substitute, and someone would go in there and take the teacher's guide and hide it. We'd play hot and cold with the teacher.
Then watch him sweat.
Yeah. No, we'd be like, "Oh, you're getting warmer. You're getting warmer. You're getting colder. You're getting cold." Oh my god, we couldn't do that now anymore. The kids today can't do that, right? You're getting. Oh my god,
yeah.
Taking over. What about you, Koopaloop?
How did none of you ever fall asleep in class? That's crazy.
Because I was so tired, I'd just stay asleep when I was at home. I wouldn't even get out of bed. Just go
to sleep. The better question is, what class did I not fall asleep in?
Yeah.
The best one to get some Z's was web design, because you put your hand on the mouse and the other hand on the keyboard.
Yeah.
And so then just fall asleep like that. So it looks like you're working on something.
Yeah.
Teachers wouldn't let me fall asleep.
When I was in high school, the internet didn't exist.
We had typewriting class.
I did.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, I had typewriting too. We learned how to type on a typewriter.
Roberto, you're not as old as that. What? No,
Oh, wow. All right, it's Ask Ben. Your questions are answers for the rest of the hour. These are actual questions by actual listeners like yourself.
Ben, this one is for you, I believe. It's from Mike on Facebook. It's kind of sports related. Mike wants to know, what's the best kind of broom, brand or style, to bring to a series sweep game?
They won't let you take brooms into the stadium. It's a weapon.
What, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, that's you can't
when
do
did that.
When
did that happen?
Oh, years ago.
Yeah, we got idiots like Angry Bill going around. And you can't have any fun. You can't sweep the dugout or anything like that. I don't know. I don't know any broom companies. What's a big broom company? I don't know.
Well, I mean, style of broom, but wow, what? That's terrible. I can't believe
it. Well, I like a witch's broom, you know, like an old witch's broom, that kind of broom.
Like a straw broom?
Yeah, like a straw, yeah, because that would be offensive, you know, you're getting swept by an old witch's broom. Yeah, not one of those like industrial ones you get at Home Depot or whatever, you know, like an outdoor garden one. No, not that.
All right, this one is for everybody. This is from Fluffy Dave.
Hi, Fluffy. I hope you learned how to say the, yeah. All right,
if you were ever to become a motorcycle guy, what would you be driving? A sport bike, a cruiser, or a moped?
No, I think I get one of those big Harleys, you know, can sit back and, I don't know if I do the high handlebars. I think that would get, I'd get tired, you know, the high handlebars and all that. I don't think I could handle that, but good looking Harley. These things are so big though. Here's my complaint. Like, I think you should only be allowed to drive between the lanes if you're in a small motorcycle. These big motorcycles, like another car driving between lanes. I don't like it. What about you, Eddie?
I'm sure I'd go for the crotch rocket, you know? Like that. Yeah. Right. No, it's funny. I was with my wife and her 10-year-old nephew, and he said crotch rocket. And she got very upset with him.
She's
you can't
offended.
Say that.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, that's actually what they call them. That's, he didn't like just make that up. That's real. She'd never heard that before.
That's the lingo. Yeah. What about you, Roberto? Crotch rocket? You going to go with that?
No. Harley Davidson, of course.
Harley.
The high handlebars.
You go high?
Yeah.
Chopper?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then you got to get the helmet, the sunglasses, and you,
that's right.
Yeah, there you go. Coop?
I'd have to go with Eddie. I'd have to do like a sports bike.
You'd choose the crotch rocket?
Yeah, my persona doesn't fit with a Harley.
Oh, that's, yeah. I could pull off a Harley.
You could. I could not.
Group on a Harley, bad to the bone, playing the bass.
I mean, Eddie could pull off riding a Harley, too.
Yeah, he could, too. Like, I couldn't pull off a sport bike. I couldn't. I mean, you see a fat guy on a sport bike, you're like, wow, what's wrong with that idiot? You know? Harley's for the everyman. It is, yeah.
Right. Ben, we'll see if we can fit this in
real
quick.
It was a backhanded compliment by Coop for me, on the way.
Real quick.
It's for you. What do you do in moments where you draw a blank and have nothing to say on air?
I give out the number. That's what I do. Yeah, no, hand to God. If I have nothing to say, I will just give out the number, my Twitter account, and that means I have nothing else to say at all.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Please transmit immediately.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies.
Is it fact or fiction?
Let's face some raw facts.
Lies, 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 yeah.
On the Ben Maller Show.
Fox Sports Radio.
And it is fact or fiction, brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you'd treat you. So we'll give you three stories. They all sound kind of true and kind of ridiculous at the same time. Two of them are true. You have to separate fiction from fact. Let's meet our celebrity panel of judges. We'll say hello to everybody. We've got Leslie, the power couple, with Jack the Judge, still hanging out on Long Island. What's going on, Leslie?
Ben, you don't sound good. You have a cold, sweetie?
Yeah, a little cold. Don't worry. I'm using garlic and chicken soup, so I'll be all right.
Excellent.
Yeah. Perfect. It's not your chicken soup, Leslie, but yeah, it's a wedding. Yeah. So when do the kids go back to school, Leslie? When are you leaving Long Island?
After Labor Day.
All right, so you have a little time left, but it's coming up quick.
Very quickly.
Coming up quick, yeah. In California, in Southern California, some of the kids are back in school right now.
Same in Florida. It's crazy.
Yeah, man. So when I was a kid, I thought summer lasted forever, but it's not that long, actually. They don't have that much time to go run amok.
No.
Yeah.
That's a good thing, too.
Yeah, but that's less time for you to hang out with them, though, right, Leslie?
This is true.
I got you. All right, hold on a sec, Leslie. Be good. Thank you. Hold on. There she goes, our friend Leslie with Jack the Judge. We've got Rod, the ambassador of Bakersfield. Hello, Rod.
Hey, what's going on, Stud Muffin?
Wow. I haven't been called that since I was single back in the day. That's very kind of you to say that, Rod.
Well, either that or Twinkle Toes, you know.
Well, that, yeah, of course, yeah. When are you coming to hang out with us again, Rod? We haven't had you down here in a while. You should come by sometime.
Well, I was going to come down this next week, but we got a shutdown coming up, so I can't get out of here.
All right.
And so we're going to head down, and unfortunately, it'll probably be when Mr. Garcia is overseas.
Yeah, that's all right. More food for us. I don't care. That's fine. Let him go. I don't care. Let him do his own thing. Yeah.
But we'll be seeing you soon, Ben. We'll get
all right. All right, Rod. Thank you, buddy. Rod was very kind. Rod's a friend because we had a meal in Bakersfield with Rod. It's a fine restaurant, steak place there. It was really cool. All right, now JJ in Renton. Hello, JJ, the Seahawks insider, JJ.
Oh, man, I'm not no Seahawks insider, Ben. You know, I just went to training camp. I'm going to the Oakland Raider game on the 29th, so I could rub something in Raider Rob's face.
Yeah. Now, JJ, let me ask you this now, JJ. I started a rumor earlier that if Mariota sucks for the Titans this year, he'll be the backup to Russell Wilson next year. What do you think?
No, I like Paxton Lynch. I told you that.
Oh, stop. Stop. You're losing all credibility with that. You know that.
Just telling you, the dude's 6'7", man. The dude looked nice.
You're gonna trigger.
Stop smoking weed.
Koopa Loop's gonna scream.
Who
at
else
you.
Was tall? Jamarcus Russell.
hey, man, Coop. Hey, it's your Broncos' fault that they got rid of him. But you know, maybe he needed a better quarterback coach.
Yeah, I'm sure that's it. I'm sure it's just the quarterback coach.
Wrong.
All right,
be a better quarterback. Period.
Let's see, Jeff in Indiana. Jeff, do you want to be a judge, Jeff?
Hey, Ben Miley, my second day on the show, and I get to be on Facts and Fiction.
Yeah, man, this is a dream come true. Your life is changing in magical ways. It's going to be a great day, Jeff, because of this.
Awesome. Let's roll with the punches.
All right. You're working right now?
I am actually on my way to work right now.
All right. And for those that don't know what you do for a living, like everybody in Beaver Dam, who's got a friend in Punxsutawney who knows somebody over in Rancho Cucamonga, what do you do for a living there, Jeff?
I'm what they call a lean manufacturing specialist. I go in, I consolidate, and I allocate systems.
It's a lot of big words there. It sounds sounds very important. All right, hold on a sec. And we have someone that has seven toes, the seven-toed drag queen, Phylexis in Rochester. Hello, Phylexis.
Hello, Ben. You know, Cowboy from Windsor, I think he has an identity crisis. And also Magic Chuck Johnson, birthday today, he turned 60. How about that?
That's one of the great upsets of our time,
Cowboy,
that Magic turned 60.
One.
That's amazing. Good for Magic. Wow, what kind of cocktail of drugs is he on every day? But it's working. It's amazing. I remember, man. I was on the radio around that time. Magic went out with the HIV, and they said, no, he'll never play again. He's going to die in 2 years, and here he is, in his 60 years old. Good for him.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on, Phylexis. There you go. All right. Three stories, real quick. Story number one: seeing double. Lonzo Ball. Figure out which of these is not true. Lonzo Ball making some headlines this week with a tattoo. Ball showing off a full arm sleeve with incredible detailed portraits of African American civil rights leaders such as Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Rosa Parks, Harriet Tubman, and more. The portraits were limited to leaders of the past, though the tattoo also featured. Yeah, bro, you'll be ready for this one. Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. Why not? Story number two, Bozo Buckeyes. Remember that guy, the Ohio State insider that used to call the show? He didn't call anymore. If you've ever watched those player introductions, you know, during Monday Night Football, you know, Ohio State alumni always emphasize the Ohio State or the Ohio State. Well, Ohio State is attempting to capitalize on the most commonly used word in the English language. The brainiacs at Ohio State in Columbus have filed an application to trademark the word the. All right. Story number three, Love and War. Remember that MMA fighter War Machine a couple years back? He was convicted of 29 felony counts, life in prison, rape and beating of his girlfriend nearly to death. Well, turns out that makes him more attractive to certain women, so much so that War Machine got married this week in prison to a prison pen pal. Now, there was no conjugal visit there allowed, and he won't be eligible for parole until 71 years old. That's love. All right, real quick, Leslie, one, two, or three, Leslie?
One.
All right, one. Thank you, Rod. One, two, or three, Rod?
You added one too many faces, number one.
Number one. JJ, what's the answer, JJ?
I'm taking number two.
Number two. Jeff, one, two, or three, Jeff?
Definitely rolling with number two. Got you.
Number two. All right, Jeff says number two. Phylexis, one, two, or three?
Number three.
No, it's number one was the fake story. No Kaepernick on that tattoo. Number one.
Got a murder. Got to go.
Some of you got it right.